You're listening to SBS News.
Calls for investment in healthcare services across Australia are growing. Yet mental health disparities between LGBTIQ Australians and the general population remain significantly high. New research from Monash University's Queer Young People in Australia 2021 report shows young LGBTIQ plus people are 85% more likely than their cisgender counterparts to rate their mental health as poor or very poor. For trans man Teddy Cook, this is no surprise.
Through societies, we grow up being told that we're not okay, that there's something wrong with us, that we're broken, that we're a challenge to fix. We can't see our role models. We can't see relationships like ours or people like us in the media. Certainly not being positioned as wonderful contributors to society. And so, you know, many of us are rejected from our families, find it difficult to get work. And, you know, that really does leave a mark.
These marks also have an economic and financial cost. And a separate study from the LGBTIQ plus health service, Thorn Harbour Health, estimates the price could be as high as $3 billion. The report found the rate of lifetime mental health challenges for LGBTIQ plus Victorians is 73%, significantly higher than the 46% among the general population. Simon Ruth is the organisation's chief executive. He told SBS that while the report focused on Victorians, these costs most likely apply to the rest of the country.
Financial and economic costs were things like the cost to the health system of treating somebody with anxiety, depression and suicidality. It also looked at bereavement associated with suicide. So if somebody managed suicide, then what happened around them? So it looked at funeral costs, it looked at formal care costs, it looked at coronial inquiry costs, it looked at police costs. It looked at all the costs that would be associated with that. It also looked at things like absenteeism from work, reduced employment, the flow-on effects from having mental health issues.
The study also found the intangible effects amounted to further billions of dollars. This includes costs to employers of up to $1.1 billion because of reduced productivity, and a cost of up to $1 billion on governments. But the report found the costs were the greatest for the LGBTIQ plus Victorians themselves, up to $23.4 billion in reduced well-being and years of life lost. CEO of LGBTIQ plus Health Australia, Carolyn Gillespie, says quantifying these costs helps the direct governments in where to target their investments.
It's important to put a dollar figure on the cost of adverse mental health outcomes because it actually enables us to then build in an appropriate response. When we're looking at appropriate responses for complex issues like mental health, we need to look at the ways in which people's lived experience and their lives in their communities is impacted by things like stigma and discrimination, and the intersectional needs of people, whether that's age, class, remote and regional folk, First Nations people, and the ways that those identities and experiences and characteristics impact on people's lived experience of mental health and wellbeing, or in fact in mental health distress.
But Ms. Gillespie says these mental health challenges are often left unattended, particularly by younger members of the LGBTIQ plus population.
I think there are a number of factors why young LGBTIQ plus people in particular struggle in terms of accessing services and supports. There's a real under-recognition around the unique needs of those young people and the profound harms and distress experiences by those people when they're not affirmed in who they are. We have most LGBTIQ plus people across Australia are accessing mainstream mental health services.
Advocates continue to call for tailored mental health services for LGBTIQ plus Australians, including spaces where they feel safe and heard. Mr. Ruth says it's common for LGBTIQ plus people to put off healthcare for fear of discrimination.
And there's a theory called minority stress that LGBTI people, every time we meet someone new, every time we go to a doctor, every time we're in a new place, there's always that experience of having to come out, and you never know whether that's going to be a positive experience or not. I only recently, my partner was in hospital and I had to ring up the hospital, and four times as I was transferred to different people, I would say, my partner's with you, and they'd say, what's her name? And I would have to then correct them and say, well, his name is. And every single time you do that, there's a little bit of stress associated with that because you don't know what the reaction's going to be.
According to the Monash University report, this minority stress is particularly prevalent among LGBTIQ plus students. Blake Cutler, lead author of the report, says these Australians are 33% more likely than their heterosexual peers to experience significant stress about interactions with other students.
And when we look at the broader evidence base around queer young people's experiences in schools, we see that schools aren't often welcoming and supportive environments. So when you think about it's queer young people's peers that are often the perpetrators of these, harassment and discriminatory acts, interacting with them and being around them becomes sort of a key factor that influences their school experience.
Mr. Cutler adds that the factors contributing to poorer mental health at school age can later affect an individual's working life.
So when we spoke to queer young people in interviews, they said the key people that determined whether they felt comfortable or not were their managers at work, because it was the manager who, you know, set up that culture of whether it was inclusive or not. The manager was often the person who initiated queer inclusive policies. So you start to see those parallels between educational institutions, workplace institutions, and we see the same sort of thing between the interaction with access to healthcare at educational institutions as well as in broader society.
Simon Ruth says there needs to be more LGBTIQ plus specific services in community-run organisations.
We also need mainstream organisations to do a better job. The fact is our own organisations, there's not a lot of us and we tend to be very urban-based. But for all LGBTI people, particularly if you live in rural and regional areas, where there can also be a lot more stresses about the lack of community, we need mainstream organisations to be doing a better job.
Brooke Young, SBS News.